Jackie Roble with the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing information about nutrition and health from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Nutrition Action Health Letter is the flagship publication of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Published 10 times a year, Nutrition Action provides honest, unbiased, science-based advice on nutrition and health. It's the world's largest circulation nutrition newsletter, bringing the latest nutrition news and advice to more than 500,000 readers. Nutrition Action is totally free of advertisings, so they're free to blow the whistle on products that aren't what they pretend to be and to applaud the good ones. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. The following articles are from the January-February edition of the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Quick Studies, a snapshot of the latest on research, diet, exercise, and more. Sugary drinks and diabetes. Both sugary drinks and fruit juice may raise your risk of type 2 diabetes, and not just by leading to weight gain. Researchers tracked roughly 192,000 men and women for up to 26 years. Those who consumed at least one daily 8-ounce serving of drinks that are high in either added or fruit sugars, which included soda, energy drinks, sports drinks, fruit juice, over 4 years had a 23% higher risk of type 2 diabetes than those who consumed less than one serving a week. Weight gain explained roughly a quarter of the increased risk. Although the scientists took many other factors into account, it's possible that something else about sugary beverage drinkers explains their higher risk. What to do? Replace sugary drinks with water, unsweetened coffee or tea, or low-fat milk. Replace fruit juice with whole fruit. Waist size and liver cancer. Your waist, not just your weight, may affect your risk of liver cancer. After pulling data on more than 1.1 million people, scientists reported that every 2-inch increase in waist size was linked to an 11% higher risk of liver cancer, even in people with a healthy weight. Hip size didn't matter. What to do? Try to lose or not gain excess weight or excess waist. Exercise and heart fat. Excess fat around the heart is linked to a higher risk of heart disease. Could exercise trim that fat? Danish researchers randomly assigned 39 sedentary people with abdominal obesity to aerobic training, high-intensity interval training on a stationary bike, strength training, 3 to 5 sets of 10 medium-load exercises, or no exercise. Both exercise groups had supervised workouts for 45 minutes 3 times a week. After 12 weeks, epicardial heart fat, which is next to the heart muscle, was reduced by 32% in the aerobic group and by 24% in the strength group. But only strength training reduced pericardial heart fat, which is in and on the membrane enclosing the heart. What to do? This study can't prove that exercise trims heart fat because it was designed to find out how exercise curbs deep belly fat. But how many reasons do you need to get moving? What's a normal serving? Do large servings of food skew your sense of what's normal? Dutch researchers served 132 women either a small portion of lasagna with about 290 calories or a large portion with 875 calories for lunch. The next day, the participants were told to eat as much as they wanted from a family-sized lasagna with 1,585 calories for lunch. Those who had been served the smaller portion of lasagna on the first day ate 620 calories worth of lasagna on the second day. Those who had been served the larger portion on the first day ate 765 calories worth. What to do? Don't let huge restaurant servings taint your sense of what's, quote, normal. Take home the excess. Food safety faux pas. 10 myths about food poisoning by Caitlin Dow. Do you throw out milk the day it hits its expiration date, or assume it's unsafe to refreeze thawed meat? And when was the last time you sanitized your sponge? Here are 10 food safety myths that may surprise you. Myth number 1, the sniff test works. Good food that's slimy or smelly? That's due to spoilage bacteria, explains Maribel Alonzo, a technical information specialist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Those bacteria can grow at your refrigerator temperatures, but typically they won't make you sick. What will? You can get really sick from pathogenic bacteria like E. coli, Salmonella, and Clostridium perfringens, says Alonzo. They grow best at room temperature, but they won't cause your food to smell or taste bad. One notable exception, Listeria monocytogenes, grows at refrigerator temperatures, says Alonzo. Listeria typically grows on deli meats, smoked fish, and prepared foods. It's responsible for listeriosis, the hard-to-diagnose infection that can cause miscarriage in pregnant women, and symptoms like fever, diarrhea, headache, and stiff neck. Bottom line, don't rely on your nose or eyes to detect harmful bacteria. Myth number two, if it's past the best by date, toss it. Food packages often list a sell-by, best-by, enjoy-by, or expiration date. But if you don't get to enjoy-by that date, does it mean you'll get sick after? Nope. Dates on food labels are the manufacturer's best guess about how long a food will taste freshest. After that date, the quality gradually declines. Most foods would become quite unpalatable before they would be unsafe to eat, says Ronnie Neff, director of the Food System Sustainability and Public Health Program at the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future. It's not time that makes most foods unsafe, notes Neff. It's that they become contaminated with bacteria from raw meat or poultry and aren't kept cold enough or cooked thoroughly. Part of the confusion is that many people think that the government regulates expiration dates. Other than infant formula, it does not. That can also lead to waste. People who believe that date labels are federally regulated are more likely to throw out food on a precautionary basis, says Neff. Ditto for those who think that outdated foods are unsafe. In 2017, the food industry urged companies to use only one of the two terms on packages, best if used by and use by. The best if used by label is meant to be about quality, explains Neff. The use by label is meant to be about whether the food is safe. Which foods get which label? Most foods will not need a label at all, or they would get the best if used by label, says Neff. The few foods that become unsafe because of time would get a use by label. It's mainly for foods where Listeria is a concern because it can grow under normal storage conditions. Bottom line, be more wary of pathogens if a food is past its use by date. Myth number three, reheating leftovers kills bacterial toxins. Oof. When we leave leftovers out, it's a perfect environment for bacteria to thrive, says the USDA's Maribel Alonzo. Bacteria can double in as little as 20 minutes at temperatures between 40 and 140 degrees, what we call the food safety danger zone, she adds. If you don't put leftovers away within 2 hours after cooking, toss them. And if you're outside and it's warmer than 90 degrees, food needs to be refrigerated within 1 hour. Doesn't reheating kill off those pesky bacteria? Yes, says Alonzo, but some bacteria, like Staphylococcus aureus and Clostridium perfringens, produce toxins that are heat-resistant. Bottom line, leftovers left out too long? Toss them. Myth number four, sanitize sponges when they start to smell. A moist sponge that is not sanitized daily or replaced often can harbor bacteria and germs that can make you sick, says Mindy Costello, an environmental health expert and registered sanitarian at NSF International, a nonprofit organization that certifies appliances, food equipment, water filters, and more. In our survey of Michigan households, 86% of sponges and dishcloths had yeast and mold, 77% had coliform bacteria, and 18% had staph bacteria. Yikes. Costello's advice, as long as it doesn't contain any metal, microwave your damp sponge for 2 minutes every day. But no matter how you slice it, sponges have a short lifespan. We recommend throwing them out every 2 weeks, says Costello. Tip, cut ordinary sponges in half to use fewer over time. A less wasteful option, use a dish brush. Just soak it for a minute every night in diluted bleach, 1 tablespoon of bleach in 1 gallon of water, then rinse and air dry. To clean kitchen surfaces, use a fresh dishcloth every day. They can be easily washed with bleach in a washing machine, Costello notes. Bottom line, whether you use a sponge, dish brush, or dishcloth, sanitize it daily. Myth number five, you can slow cook frozen food. Food should be completely thawed before you put it in a slow cooker, says the USDA's Maribel Alonzo. If you put in a block of frozen food, it may take too long for the food to reach a safe temperature. In other words, the food may spend more than 2 hours in the danger zone. And if your slow cooker has a delayed start feature, think twice before you use it. If the food sits in the cooker at room temperature for more than 2 hours, you're smack in the danger zone. Instead, get a slow cooker that automatically switches to warm after the food is cooked. Bottom line, never let food spend more than 2 hours in the danger zone. Myth number six, you can't refreeze thawed raw meat. Dinner plans changed? As long as you've thawed raw meat, poultry, or seafood in the refrigerator, you can refreeze it, Alonzo explains. If you're short on time, you can put frozen meat in a leak-proof plastic bag and submerge it in cold water on your counter, replacing the water every 30 minutes. But unlike meat thawed in the fridge, you'll need to cook it immediately. And any cooked meat can be refrozen. The catch? Raw meat that has been refrozen won't taste as good. When the meat is thawed, you lose moisture, says Alonzo. Add another freeze-thaw cycle and the consistency and tenderness of the meat will change. Bottom line? It's safe to refreeze raw meat that was thawed in the fridge. Myth number seven, unsafe food only affects your GI tract. Bacteria in food may be a culprit in urinary tract infections, or UTIs. We think some of the bacteria that cause UTIs are coming from animal foods, says Lee Riley, chair of the Division of Infectious Diseases and Vaccinology at the University of California, Berkeley. For nearly two decades, Riley and others have found links between bacterial strains in animal foods, mostly poultry, and those that cause UTIs. How do bacteria from animals reach your urinary tract? First, people may touch kitchen counters, utensils, or their hands after touching raw poultry or meat, and the bacteria end up on salad or other raw foods. When people ingest those bugs, the bacteria transiently colonize the intestines, says Riley. In some people, they make their way out and cause a UTI. Based on our data, 20% of UTIs in Berkeley may have an animal food origin, says Riley. If that's true, it's a major public health issue. But the government doesn't keep tabs on UTIs or the bacteria that cause them. The CDC already tracks other foodborne pathogens, Riley notes, but why not include UTIs? Then we could learn more about the disease and if it's truly associated with food. And again, food may be a source. A 2018 study identified a strain of antibiotic-resistant E. coli both in urine samples from people with UTIs and in meat samples from nearby grocery stores. Bottom line, keep a separate cutting board for raw meat, poultry, and seafood. After you handle them, wash your hands and utensils thoroughly, and look for meat raised without antibiotics, which may minimize your exposure to drug-resistant bacteria, says Riley. Myth number eight, all eggs need to be refrigerated. Store-bought eggs must be refrigerated from farm to table, but if they're fresh off the farm, it's a different story. Commercial eggs are washed at a processing plant, says the USDA's Alonzo. Washing removes dirt and bacteria from the egg shells, and she adds, but it also eliminates the bloom. That's the natural coating that helps keep water in and bacteria like salmonella out. The washed shell is porous, so anything on the outside can contaminate the inside, explains Alonzo. Once the bloom is gone, refrigeration keeps salmonella from growing. And once eggs have been refrigerated, they need to stay there. A cold egg left at room temperature can sweat, which opens the shell pores. But bloom or no bloom, eggs last longer in the fridge. To kill salmonella, cook eggs until both the white and yolk are firm. Like a runny yolk, try pasteurized eggs, which have been treated to kill salmonella. Bottom line, refrigerate store-bought eggs. Myth number nine. Hand sanitizer kills all germs. Kills 99.99% of germs, boasts the label of Germex hand sanitizer. But are most of those germs harmless? The FDA has asked companies for more evidence. Alcohol-based hand sanitizers like Germex won't kill bugs like the parasite Cryptosporidium or the hard-to-treat bacteria Clostridium difficile, which can cause life-threatening diarrhea. Nor will they kill norovirus, which is highly contagious and causes vomiting, diarrhea, and nausea. Norovirus is the leading cause of foodborne illnesses in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that each year, 19 to 21 million Americans get sick from norovirus, though not all of them from eating contaminated food. Bottom line, hand washing is a safer bet than hand sanitizer. Myth number 10. Eating raw dough is fine if you make it with pasteurized eggs. Raw batter or dough made with raw eggs can harbor salmonella, But it's not just the eggs that can get you. In two recent outbreaks, contaminated raw flour sickened 84 people with Shiga toxin-producing E. coli, which can cause bloody diarrhea. The bacteria most likely got into the flour in the field or during processing. Make sure that you wash your hands, work surfaces, and utensils with warm water and soap after handling raw flour, says Alonzo. Bottom line, don't taste raw dough or let kids play with homemade Play-Doh. And now for a recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Two stir-fry secrets. For easy slicing, freeze chicken for 15 to 20 minutes and prepare all the ingredients before you start cooking. Lemon, ginger, chicken, and broccoli. Ingredients: 1 tablespoon reduced sodium soy sauce, 1 tablespoon sunflower or peanut oil, 2 extra tablespoons reserved, 1 tablespoon plus 1 teaspoon cornstarch, 1/2 teaspoon dark brown sugar, 1 pound boneless skinless chicken breast sliced into bite-sized pieces, 3 cloves garlic minced, 1 tablespoon grated ginger, 1 scallion minced, 4 cups broccoli spears, 3/4 cup homemade chicken stock, 1 1/2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 tablespoon 1/2 inch matchsticks ginger, 1 scallion thinly sliced. In a medium bowl, whisk together the soy sauce, 1 tablespoon oil, 1 tablespoon cornstarch, and sugar. Toss the chicken with the soy sauce mixture. In a small bowl, mix together the garlic, grated ginger, minced scallion, and 1 tablespoon oil. In a large nonstick pan over high heat, heat the remaining 1 tablespoon oil until very hot. Stir fry the broccoli until bright green, remove from the pan. Stir fry the chicken until no longer pink, 3 to 5 minutes, removing from the pan. Stir fry the garlic, ginger mixture until fragrant, 30 to 60 seconds. Whisk in the stock, lemon juice, salt, and 1 teaspoon cornstarch. Bring to a boil and allow to thicken 2 to 3 minutes. Return the chicken and the broccoli to the pan. Toss with the sauce. Sprinkle with the ginger, matchsticks, and sliced scallion. And enjoy. Cheers! Counting Calories in Booze by Lindsay Moyer and Camilla Mitchell. A typical 6-ounce glass of wine or 12-ounce beer has as many calories as a can of Coke, 140. Some beers have twice that much, but you'd never know it from many labels and non-chain restaurant menus. Chain restaurants must disclose calories. Alcohol is responsible for 88,000 deaths each year in this country, mostly from car crashes, suicides, violence, falls, and liver disease. But booze can also leave its mark on your midsection. Beer. A beer's calories depend mostly on alcohol and to a lesser extent on carbs. Light. Very low alcohol beers, 2 to 3%, like Miller 64 started around 60 calories in 12 ounce. Most lights, 4% alcohol, have about 100 calories. Regular. An average 5% alcohol brew like Budweiser hovers around 150 calories. IPAs. Heavy hitters, 6 to 9% alcohol like IPAs, double IPAs, and Belgian style triples pack 200 to 300 calories. Ooh, a lower alcohol session IPA cuts that to 140 or so. Draft pours. Do the math. Even on average, beer hits 200 or 250 calories when you're served a 16 or 20 ounce glass. Mixed drinks. The examples in the chart are typical for chain restaurants, but drinks vary from one bartender to another. The usual ranges: a martini or a Manhattan. Classic cocktails with little added sugar, Manhattan, or no added sugar martini typically fall in the 150 to 200 calorie range. Moscow Mule or Mojito, expect about 200 to 300 calories. Margarita. A classic margarita, tequila, lime, triple sec, in small glass limits the calories to 200, but sugary, often frozen margaritas jump to 350, and oversized ones reach 500. Ay caramba. Blended frozen drinks. Large frozen mudslides or other boozy ice cream shakes hit 500 to 800 plus calories. That's like slurping up a 540 calorie Big Mac or more. Mayday! Wine. Our chart shows the calories 150 for 6 ounces, the amount in a restaurant pour. A 9-ounce glass reaches 220 calories. Even many higher sugar whites, like Moscato or Riesling, are in the same ballpark. Count on 200 to 300 calories in a glass of sangria, thanks to fruit juice, sugar, etc. Liquor. Rule of thumb, any gin, rum, tequila, vodka, or whiskey has 100 to 120 calories per 1.5-ounce shot before you add any mixers. That's because all of liquor's calories come from its alcohol, 40 to 50%. Exceptions, cask strength or barrel-proof liquor can reach 150 or so calories. Liqueurs like Bailey's or Contro vary, depending on their alcohol, sugar, or other extras. Seltzer or cider, etc. Most hard seltzers, much of the calories, a light beer, 100-ish. And sugar ranges from zero, Bon and Viv, Henry's, Smirnoff, to half a teaspoon, Naughty, Truly, White Claw, in 12 ounce. Sure beats other sips. Hard cider, expect up to 200 calories and 3 to 5 teaspoons of sugar, some from the juice, in 12 ounce. Dry ciders are lower, 150 calories. Ritas. This brand of canned sparkling margaritas, made with high fructose corn syrup and, in some flavors, food dyes and sucralose, crams 190 to 220 calories into just 8 ounces. How many of the 21 to 29 grams of carbs are added sugar? The company won't say. Food find. Sweet freezes. Apples, oranges, grapefruits. Apples, oranges, grapefruits. Where can you find top-notch fruit when you're bored with winter's usual in-season selection? The freezer. Dipping into the frozen fruit case is perks galore, especially if you love berries. For starters, the fruit is usually frozen at its peak of ripeness. And talk about cheap. Why drop $5 on a small container of ho-hum raspberries when you can snag a frozen bag full for half the price per ounce? Face it, you can't beat bite-sized pieces of already washed fruit waiting patiently until they're ready for it. Food waste? Minimal. Yes, they lose some of that fresh fruit texture. Ice forms as fruit freezes, and that breaks down its cell structure. So the morsels get softer and more liquidy as they thaw. Solution? Toss them into some yogurt, a smoothie, or your next bowl of oatmeal or cold cereal. Our fave? Wyman's Wild Blueberries. While wild blueberries are often pricier, their flavor is intense. And with smaller berries, less pulp and more skin, wild blues stay a bit firmer as they thaw. Bonus? The 6 grams of fiber, more than 20% of a day's worth, in every 80-calorie cup makes the payoff even sweeter. Trader Joe's is another good frozen fruit bet. Try Joe's Fancy Berry Medley or Very Cherry Berry Blend. Frozen is fresher, says Wyman's. Sometimes it is. Food fail. Bottomless feeder. Swiss cheese, crispy onion straws, French onion spread, and tomatoes on a melted provolone-capped onion bun, topped off with 3 golden fried onion rings. Why did it take so long for Red Robin to come up with its limited-time French onion ringer burger? After all, the onion rings, onion straws, and cheeses were there in the kitchen anyway, and it wasn't a big stretch to think of piling them on the fluffy white flour buns. Speaking of piling on, 1,180 calories, 22 grams of saturated fat, and 1,640 milligrams of sodium is quite impressive. It's like 2 Big Macs in one. But why stop there? The burger comes with bottomless steak fries as a free side. So you can add 350 calories worth of starch plus oil to your 1,530 calorie burger plus fries again and again. What fun! To its credit, Red Robin also offers bottomless broccoli or salad as a side. But, just a wild guess, odds are they're not as big a draw with the burger crowd. Come to think of it, it's hard to imagine a better draw for Americans these days than bottomless fries. Unless it's also bottomless drinks. So if the bottomless root beer float or poppin' purple lemonade doesn't sound like it would quench your bottomless thirst, you can order a bottomless cream soda mixed with Sprite and topped with whipped cream. So keep chugging, says Red Robin. We're stocked and ready. And we're speechless. Dish of the month. Sesame miso bok choy. Steam 1 pound bok choy, 1 to 2 minutes. Whisk together 1 tablespoon miso, 1 tablespoon water, 1 teaspoon rice vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon toasted sesame oil, and 1/2 teaspoon honey. Spoon over the bok choy, top with 1 tablespoon sesame seeds. Standing Up for Science, a memo from Peter G. Lorre, President, Center for Science in the Public Interest. Quick! What do CVS, an ex-Trump aide, and fertility supplement manufacturers have in common? Answer, they're all poster children for why the dietary supplement industry isn't capable of policing itself. In 2016, attorneys at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, Nutrition Action's publisher, sued CVS on behalf of consumers over the misleading marketing of its Algal 900 DHA dietary supplement. Relying on a single industry-conducted study, the company's ads and labels claimed that the product was clinically shown to improve memory. Not according to the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, which conducted that the study did not reveal any improvement in working memory. Apparently not getting the memo, CVS continued its claims for Algal 900 DHA. The gears of the law, it is well known, grind slowly. But finally, this past September, the case was settled. CVS agreed to provide refunds to consumers and to refrain from making similar memory claims for 2 years. 2 years after exiting the White House in August 2017, Sebastian Gorka started touting Relief Factor, a supplement that claims to help you break free from everyday aches and pains. TV ads for that, the pills, identified Gorka, who holds a PhD in political science from Corvinus University in Budapest, Hungary, as Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Not so fast. According to the FTC's rules, when ads represent directly or by implication that a commercial endorser is an expert, the endorser must have actual expertise in a relevant field. A doctor featured in an ad for a hearing aid, for example, would need substantial experience in audiology for the ad to avoid being deceptive. Being a political scientist, and one whose credentials have been challenged at that, Gorka didn't make the cut. And after CSPI pointed out this flagrant violation to the FTC, Gorka's doctor moniker was scrubbed from the ads within weeks. There are some 39 fertility supplements sold on Amazon and other online platforms that made unproven claims about their ability to promote fertility in women. Some companies went so far as to denigrate FDA-approved fertility drugs, encouraging vulnerable patients to opt for snake oil instead of proven treatments. When CSPI asked, not one of the companies was able to provide satisfactory evidence to support its claims. That's all the time we have for Nutrition News. Until next time, I'm Jackie Roble for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening. Here's to your health.